Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff that you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the Communication Workers of America District 2-13 and Teamsters Local 406, and we appreciate their support. Join me now, the man, the myth, the guy who deserves his own monument in Washington, D.C., Chris Garlock.
Charles, you know, if I had my own monument, you just have to go and take it down, you know?
At least protect it from the pigeons, right?
Exactly. Hey, you know that today is Friday, right?
Yes, normally.
You know, I don't know where you are on Fridays, but you ain't here.
Yes, well, unfortunately, Angela Bachman is in an undisclosed location awaiting orders, and Brittany Sheets is working on, well, classified documents at this point in time.
That's right. Don't ask, don't tell, right, Charles?
That's it. And, you know, please don't make me lie to you about it.
So, no. Enough said. Enough. It's always good to talk to you, Charles.
In other words, vacation.
You know, I got to tell you, along those lines, I got a great auto response the other day from one of my colleagues at Jews United for Justice, one of our great community allies here in D.C. And, you know, auto response, you know, you put that on when you're away, even though, you know, we're all reading our emails when we're away, which we should not.
Right.
But this auto response, I had this great thing about how she was on vacation, a paid vacation paid for by her employer. And then with a link to a great article, maybe you saw it a few weeks ago about, and I forget the stat, I got to go dig this out, but that, you know, a huge percentage of Americans do not use all their vacation time over the course of the year, which I got to tell you, I'm not in that. I mean, I use all mine and then some, let me tell you what.
Well, you know, I get it that you use all yours. I know at the end of the year I have to work extra hard to make up for the vacation time that I didn't take.
That's wrong, but, dude. Seriously.
I know. I gotta talk to Brittany and Angela about that. But no, it's incredible the amount of money that corporations save when their employees don't take their vacation time and it just expires.
Well, and here's the thing, too. You know, I think that people are thinking about vacation, you know, all wrong. I mean, obviously, you know, the bosses, they love it because, you know, people are there and they're working and they're getting their money's worth plus. But, you know, I got to tell you, I come back, I am rejuvenated, I am refreshed, I am champing at the bit, I'm ready to go. And, you know, if I didn't have that, I'd be one burned out puppy, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. And there are very strong research that's out, or there is very strong research that's out there that shows there is a direct proportion or there's a direct cause and effect when it comes to productivity. People that
Absolutely.
Take vacations have higher levels of productivity.
Yeah. No, it's not just about, you know, going and vegging out on the beach, although, hey, go for it. But it really is about just recharging those batteries. And, you know, I was just, Charles, I was shocked to see, you know, people leaving all of this vacation on the table. And some places, actually technically here at the council, that's the case, you know, it's use it or lose it. You know, if you don't use it by the end of the year, you don't get to carry it over. Most places, I think you can carry over your sick leave, and I hardly ever use any of that. Thank God I'm, you know, healthy as a horse. But technically around here, if you don't use it by the end of the year, you lose it, and, you know, that's no good.
No, it's no good at all. And unfortunately, not enough employers believe that it's important to let that stuff carry over.
Yeah, well, I tell you, you make sure that your folks and you take your vacation time. But I had
okay, I'll see you later,
to talk
Chris.
To you about. You're gone, right? Here. All right, Chris, you're in charge.
There you go.
Go for it. Hey, a couple of quick things. Big news first is transit workers, and I think you've had, you know, Jackie and maybe David on from the transit workers here in town. We've got about 9,000 folks that work for the, you know, our great, great metro system that I use every day. They just declared impasse in the contract negotiations today, literally just this morning. And that's not a decision they take lightly, because what happens once you declare impasse, you go to arbitration, and then it's in the hands of a three-person panel And you pretty much, well, you're supposed to abide by it. They've had problems with the employer, you know, and not liking the arbitrator's decision and not necessarily abiding by it. But that's the way it's supposed to work. Now, these folks, Charles, have not had a contract since July of last year. That's 2016, so you're talking over a year now without a contract. And, you know, without getting into the gory details, but basically the union was just like, these folks are not negotiating in good faith, you know, just not really being, you know, you've been in negotiations before, and you know when this, you know, the employer is slow walking it and putting ridiculous proposals on the table that they know that you can't accept, much less take back to your membership. And that's exactly what's been happening here.
Yeah, I hate it when they do that. They slow walk it, and then they go, oh, well, it wasn't us. We were really just a little bit confused around. Yeah, no. No.
No confusion there. No confusion whatsoever. Yeah, no. So like I said, so we'll see what happens with that. You know, I suspect that, you know, there will be more actions to come from the transit workers. These are some pretty tough folks, and they're pretty frustrated.
Well, please contact Jackie Jeter for us and tell her that if there's anything at all we can do to help, we would be delighted in doing that.
Absolutely. Appreciate that. Well, and you know, there's been just a spate of you know, not only the safety stuff that we've talked about before, but also there's been these attacks on, you know, bus drivers and various folks. Because, you know, what happens is that the Metro system has been jacking up the price and the service has been going down because they're not investing in the system, putting in, you know, there's a lot of money that they need to put in the system and, you know, get it back up where it should be. And then riders get frustrated, and who are they going to take it on? You know, they don't see the general manager. They don't see the white shirts. You know, they see the folks that are driving the trains, driving the buses, you know, the folks, frankly, that are making the system run, but they're the ones that it gets, you know, we had, and I can't make this stuff up, we had a woman who, I'm not even going to get into the details on it, but somehow wound up with a cup of urine, and that's right, I said urine, and decided what she wanted to do with that was throw that in the face of the bus driver. And, you know, it's driving a bus is a tough enough job. I mean,
right.
It's just hard. I mean, it is a tough job. I wouldn't want to do it myself. But then, to have somebody come in and do that is just, you know, you really got to ask yourself what the heck is going on out there.
You know, people don't think about it, but the bus drivers, the way it is today, are the first line of response.
Mm-hmm.
They're the cops, the firemen, and the paramedics, the people that keep people safe on those buses, and you know, it just gets worse and worse all the time.
Really, really does. So I'll keep you up to speed on that. The other thing I just want to mention real quick. Of course, Trump, after all this back and forth and to-ing and fro-ing on DACA, you know, these 800,000, 900,000 kids who were brought to this country, you know, completely, you know, not their decision, came with their parents, dreamers. You know, he came out with that decision. Of course, he didn't come out with it. He sent Sessions out, you know, to take the heat on that. Meanwhile, he's there, you know, pretending he didn't have nothing to do with it. We've had a number of demonstrations here in D.C. Most recently, the other day, President Trumpka was out, you know, with a demonstration at the White House, marching on the Department of so-called Justice. And I got to tell you, Charles, this is an issue that is not going away. You know, I understand immigration is a complex issue, although I always like to point out that unless you're a Native American, we all came from somewhere else. It may be a few generations back.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all immigrants. It's a nation of immigrants. And the way that these folks are being treated right now, it's really reprehensible. And especially to go after kids on something like this, frankly, it's embarrassing.
It is. And, you know, overwhelmingly, the United States, Americans, they get it. They understand it. They've stood up. I think the latest poll before the president's whacking any efforts was at 65% in support of DACA. I am sure that it's gained 5, 10, 15 points more.
Yeah, so we'll be keeping that issue. And it was great, Charles. You know, my office is a block from the White House, and there'd been a demonstration in the morning. And then all of a sudden I heard this noise later in the afternoon. I look out my window, And there was all these young dreamers out there shut down the street at H and 16th. And, you know, usually that's the stuff that I'm doing. And it was just great. I went out there, you know, we tweeted about it, covered it, got the word out. And it's really, really cool to, you know, just to see these kids, you know, kind of taking the initiative. You could kind of see their pride in being active and being Americans. You know, I think one of the things people forget, Charles, is to talk about sending these folks back. There's no back for them. They have grown up in this country. It'd be like, you know, saying, Chris, we're going to send you back to Poland. I mean, that was my great-great-great-grandfather. You know? I mean,
you know, hey, listen, Chris, we got to get going, brother. I appreciate you being with us, and we'll talk to you soon. Chris Carlock of the D.C. Labor Council. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio.